We've got two special interviews today. Trust me, friends, you will be impacted.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on today's Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, so blessed to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call, 866-348-7884. But before you pick up the phone to call, I'm not taking random questions today. We'll have the phone lines open a bunch of days this week to do so. But I'm giving you that phone number in case, over the course of this broadcast, you are prompted to respond. You are prompted to call. God is stirring you, and you'll understand what I'm talking about in a moment. We've got some special guests that are going to be joining us a little later in the broadcast. They are on the front lines of missions work. They are needing more laborers. I'm talking about upheaval in your own life where you leave behind the comforts of where you're currently living to serve in some difficult parts of the world. You say, why would I want to do that? Well, because you love Jesus and you love souls. The same reason that these missionaries are doing what they're doing. We just finished our 20th anniversary missions conference. So this is 20 straight years we've been having missions conferences to sponsor, to support, to back grads from our ministry school that are now serving around the world. And when I say around the world, I mean in some of the most difficult outlying areas on the planet, in some challenging areas and challenging settings, and shockingly, some very challenging settings right here in the United States. During the Brownsville Revival, critics would say, it's just a lot of emotionalism. These converts aren't real. Well, now some of them have been on the mission field for 20 years. I pity the hypercritics. I pity those who are so focused on a detail that doesn't fit within their little straight-jacketed perspective that they can't see the amazing things that Jesus is doing by his Spirit. But before we go to the nations, I'm joined by my dear friend, David Benham. David and Jason many times have been guests here in the Line of Fire. We've had the joy of working together in a bunch of different ministry situations in America. And a couple years ago at our annual missions conference, we were worshiping the Lord. We were singing a song about the nations. I became overwhelmed with my burden for the nations. I've been outside the United States probably about 200 trips. So I've brought thousands of messages overseas, different parts of the world. And I was just tremendously burdened for the nations and said, God, I fell to my knees sobbing for the nations and for the Lord. I said, God, I'll spend the rest of my life pouring into the nations. I'll go. I'll spend the rest of my life doing that. And then the thought hit me, well, why care about America? Why care about America? And I was struck again, as America goes, the world goes. Not just souls in America, but America's influence, hence our burden for gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. Well, I'm going to speak with David about the state of things in America. And I want to let you know about a movie that's going to be playing in theaters just one night only. This week, playing in theaters, wanted you to know about it. So, Matt, let's play a clip from that, a trailer for this movie, The Reliant, and then David's going to come on and tell you why he thinks this is an important movie.
Our city is one of the few places that's successfully resisting tyranny and disarmament.
God is good. He is what is good in this broken world, and he is loving, even when we don't understand it. If we trust him, everything will be just fine.
As I look at that trailer, David, it looks like someone resembling you is in this movie.
Well, a better-looking twin is in this movie. Yeah, my brother and I actually are both in it. It was really fun, Dr. Brown, and just even listening to you kind of do the lead into the trailer and your heart for the nations and also your heart for America. And, you know, to take a quote from you that I've used many times, that when we look at the nations, especially in my own heart here, when I look at America, the problem's not the presence of darkness, it's the absence of light.
Yep.
So this is why Jason and I were really excited to be a part of this little movie, The Reliant. Doc Johnson is a personal friend of ours. He's the writer and the producer of the movie. And he really has a heart for the nation as well, but specifically here in America, the story is about darkness rising, anarchy, lawlessness in this country, which sometimes when you even look at the news, you might think that it's a little closer than we might realize. But this scene depicts where it's just martial law. It's every man for himself. And what's going to rise in the midst of that? Does it thrive? Does it survive in the midst of that? That's Brian Bosworth's character is just so phenomenal. And then Jason and I play a small part in the movie, by the way. But we are definitely in it. And it was probably, Dr. Brown, one of the funnest things that we've done in our professional careers as business leaders.
Really?
With being in a movie, especially one that we know has a good message like this. We got a lot of flack. It's kind of one of those midline movies where it's too action packed, and to me, it's a little bit too raw for the faith based audience. Because I mean, it talks about violence. It shows what truly happens when darkness rises and martial law is coming upon us, and all of these things. And yet, it's way too Christian for the secular audience. So It is a phenomenal movie that really, I mean, it's not a sermon on screen. I mean, it's real, authentic, hardcore realities that we may end up facing here in this country. And what's it going to be like for faith? What's it going to be like for the men and women of God? And what are we going to do when things like this indeed may come to our country?
All right, so how can folks see this in the movie theater?
Well, it's in 750 movie theaters across the country. You can go to thereliant.com, and you'll see where it's playing here in the Charlotte area. It's most of the big theaters. I know it's Concord Mills, which is real close to our place. But then, you can go to thereliant.com, and on the Reliant Facebook page, they've got interactions with Kevin Sorbo and Brian Bosworth, who, by the way, are really fun to be around, especially Brian Bosworth. You know, I don't know, Dr. Brown, I'm kind of dating myself, but I remember when he was a stud at OU and had his big blonde hair and the rat tail off the back, and all these young boys in high school wanted to be like the boss. Well, acting alongside him and watching his abilities was surreal. He's very, very talented, and just his genuine love for the Lord. And there's actually a scene in the movie, and I don't want to give it away, but there is one particular scene where my brother and I are with the Boz, and a spiritual moment takes place. And before the scene, before we even shot the scene, Boz looked right directly in my eyes and says, "This is real for me. I don't want you to even think this is an act. These lines that we're about to say, this is real. It's from my heart." And while we were actually, you hear, "Ready, action," and I'm delivering my lines, and Boz looks at me and starts weeping. And he delivers his lines, and it greatly touched me. And I know that the watchers, the viewers that go and see this movie, they'll be touched as well when they see just some of the incredible moments of faith in the midst of a really dark and trying time.
So would you say that this is, if you had to say one more than the other, more of a faith movie than a patriotic movie?
Well, it is a faith movie, but it's very heavy on our rights as citizens to bear arms. And it's really important that we understand that. You know, often today we find ourselves blaming the instruments of violence, like gun violence. I mean, why don't we call it knife violence or car violence or something else? And we remove the inspiration behind the person that's wielding the instrument, you know, and I'm sorry, I'm revealing my Baptist roots. I use the two alliterations with the letter I, but it's really...
You need three. To be Baptist, you need three. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that. Well, you help me think of an I and it'll work. But either way, you know, we're looking at what we call gun violence, and I would just say it's violence in general with the use of guns. It can be a vehicle. It could be drugs. It could be any number of things, a knife. It could be guns. And while I do believe that we definitely need solid, wholesome, conservative restrictions on guns with excellent background checks and all these other things. I certainly do not believe in disarming the populace. That would be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's our Second Amendment. So the storyline does depict gun ownership. We've been given an endorsement by the NRA and others, so it is patriotic in that sense. But what it really is how do we protect and defend what is right and true and just in the middle of lawlessness and anarchy and confusion? And so it's got this strong faith component of, well, men and women that know God need to rise up and do what's right so we can protect the innocent, so we can defend what is right and true and just against those that would rise up and take what does not belong to them, especially when they are desiring to take life. So it's got a very strong patriotic element, but it shows where men and women of faith fit into that to be a voice for truth.
Got it. So last question, and we've got a minute and a half before the break. So friends, go to thereliant.com to find out more. David, you've been raised in the pro-life movement. You've watched your dad suffer abuse preaching the gospel in front of abortion clinics. You and Jason spent many years involved in front lines, pro-life work. Are you encouraged or discouraged at this point in life?
We are greatly encouraged. You know, in 1991, when my dad was kind of at the helm of the pro-life movement in America, there were over 2,100 freestanding abortion clinics. Today, there are less than 600 without one sweeping piece of federal legislation. It's because men and women of God are being salt and light and loving others as themselves and really giving choices and options to moms that feel they have no choice but abortion. So we are incredibly encouraged, and we thank God for your voice in that battle as well.
And what about right on the home front? We both live in the greater Charlotte, North Carolina area. How do you feel there?
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Brown, you know, it's over 200 churches have mobilized to join Love Life Charlotte, and we have over 300 mentor families that are actually walking alongside moms that would have chosen abortion because they felt they had no other choice, but we're actually walking alongside these mothers who have chosen life, given birth. We're giving baby showers. I mean, it is amazing. We're actually even working with the Department of Social Services with their foster and adoption program. They're now looking to the church. Our social services are looking to the church for the answers instead
Amazing.
Of everyone else.
It's the way it's supposed to be. Hey, friends, you can make a difference one life at a time. And for the movie, go to thereliant.com, a special one-night event this Thursday, October 24th. David, keep up the good work. Look forward to seeing you on the big screen.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Brown.
All right.
Oh, God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. As I said right at the outset of the broadcast, today's show may rock your world. We heard from David Benham, important things going on here in America. But now two special interviews with some of our missionaries who are in town from serving in the nations and serving in different parts of America. And it could be what you hear in the moments ahead will directly impact you because God may be speaking to you through this broadcast. And no, in this next segment, through this whole show, I'm not asking any of you to give me or our organization any money, even though we support these missionaries around the world and support the guests that we have in studio with us today. I'm asking you to give yourself. Ooh. Yeah, so I'm sitting here with Joanne Chinkers. Joanne is a Jewish believer in Jesus. One of the great impacting nights of her life was when she saw in a small group at the home of a Russian Jew, saw me debate Rabbi Tovia Singer. And part of her testimony is, well, he did so bad, and we were on the side of truth on our side. That was part of what God used to establish her in the faith. And she's since served in Nigeria for many years now, doing an extraordinary work with the poorest of the poor. Joanne, great to have you back on The Line of Fire.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And Joanne, just paint a word picture of the environment in which you live in Nigeria, from the snakes to the people being abducted and killed for witchcraft potions. And paint a picture for our listeners and viewers.
Well, one sobering thing that I discovered when I got home was that the last issue of The Voice of the Martyrs was dedicated to Nigeria, the entire magazine. Mm. Over 30,000 people have been killed with the Boko Haram insurgency and also the Fulani herdsmen insurgency now. Kidnapping is up. Sacrifice is up. But God is great.
Mm.
And where I live, I cannot say that I'm in danger of Boko Haram. I live in north central Nigeria, and what's happening is farther northeast of me. But the community I live in, if I take a walk, which I do every morning and evening with the dog, I'm walking through broken roads. I'm walking through dirt paths littered with garbage. I'm walking by children happily waving to me and greeting me as they defecate along the side of the road. Most people do not have bathrooms in my community. Most people do not have running water. Well, nobody has running water. We have given fresh water in wells, but they still have to come and carry it to their houses. It really is the poorest of the poor.
And you've been serving there, Joanne, teaching children in schools and then teaching teachers. When you first got to Nigeria and the school where you started working, what was the literacy rate of the students then, and then what's happened since?
Well, I individually assessed every child and discovered 9 children reading close to instructional level.
Out of how many?
Out of 200.
Ooh.
And we are now, and then the school declined for a bit. Obviously, it wasn't doing its job. But I brought in a reading program, I trained teachers, and now 50 to 80% of the children in every classroom are reading at or above instructional level. The population is booming. We've built more classrooms. And it got to the point where the teachers were so well trained, the students were doing well. It's basically self-sufficient now, which is wonderful.
Incredible.
Which led me looking to do something else.
All right, so you have now begun to work in a village, which is a Muslim village. You've been greeted there. They know you're a Christian, but because of the quality of the work that you're doing. So here you are, a single white woman serving in Nigeria. And when you mention kidnapping and sacrifice, you're talking about what exactly?
I'm talking about that because of the poverty level, kidnapping has become almost a business. And when it comes to kidnapping of children, many children have been abducted and dismembered and their body parts used in ritual.
Right. So, friends, this is real life. And Joanne is making a difference in the midst of this, exalting Jesus. Even a well put in with money raised by Christians sends a message out that Jesus loves this community in north central Nigeria. And because of that, Joanne has been welcomed to work in a Muslim village as a Christian, as a woman doing Christian education, but the Muslims see her love and they see her heart and they see the difference that's being made in the lives of the children and they know the importance of education. But Joanna's a real need, which is for another single woman, and as long as you're healthy, the age is not the issue, another single woman to come and serve alongside of her, which would mean raising your own support, which would mean just as Joanne has done. Joanne, actually, when her mom passed away, sold her home and different things and just poured her own money into serving there. So no one, I can't underwrite you. Maybe your church could, but there's a real need. And it could be that one of you listening, this was an unplanned interview, just happened moments ago that we realized Joanne was in studio, that there's a pressing need and you could do something that would be the most, far and away, the most rewarding service ministry you've ever done in your life. So Joanne, paint a picture of what's needed, of what the rewards would be, and what, like, the could someone come over, get a feel for things, stay for a while? What tell us what's going on and how they could help.
It would need to be somebody who is interested in working with kids, someone who has hopefully some background working with kids, who's willing to be trained in the reading program we're using, who's willing to be trained to be culturally sensitive and understand the nature of the work, and willing and able to handle intense heat, motorcycle rides up and down rough territory, and living where electricity is not consistent, and it gets kind of hot and uncomfortable, and manage to get rid of any rodents and dangerous reptiles, but hopefully lizards in the room won't turn anybody off.
Uh-huh. And Joanne, did you think if I had given you that description in advance and said, we need someone like that, would you have thought that was you?
No, I never thought that was me.
But
I was encouraged to take an exploratory trip to Nigeria, which I did. Then I was asked to go for a few months, which I did. And I came back thinking I would never be able to do that, but maybe I could do a follow-up visit. And I did, and God called me full-time.
Got it. What are the rewards?
The rewards are when you're riding a motorcycle through town and someone yells at you, Mother of Fangun, which is the Islamic settlement I'm working in now, where you're walking the dog and you hear white lady, which I don't usually respond to, and then, hey, I'm greeting you, and turn around, and again, there's a distinguished Islamic gentleman saying, thank you, you're making things right, and Fangun.
Mm. All right, so friends, and Joanne, you've sent me specific stories of kids, some you've taken in, some that were very sick, and you're able to get medical care for them. But just watching these kids learn to read, some of them coming to faith, I mean, it's a lot of hardship, a lot of challenge. I can't imagine living there long term. God's given you grace to do it. Is it worth it? Is it worth it all?
Jesus is worth it all. There's no life better than the one that he has created you to live.
So your great reward is being with him and seeing his smile in the midst of it, and then...
My great reward is I know that he said that when I serve them, I'm serving him.
Mm.
And so what greater thing is there than magnifying his name in whatever way he's called you to do that in serving the least of these?
Yeah, friends, these are the least of these, and we all know it's a biblical call. And when you've done it, Jesus says, to the least of these... Not just the least of these in terms of poverty, not just the least of these in terms of many being unreached, but little children. Little children. Doesn't get any more the least of these than that. He said, you've done it to them, you've done it to me. So maybe you are listening and you think that's me. Maybe you're thinking, look, I could do this, like take a year out of my career or take a year out of my schooling, or I'm now single and unattached or without responsibility, and I could do this. Well, do an exploratory trip first, like Joanne did. See if you can get away for a month and do an exploratory trip. Again, you need to be a woman. You need to be in good health. I mean, it's awesome if you're 85 and would love to volunteer, but your health is deteriorating. It's probably not the best move to make, but your prayers would certainly be valued. So here's what you do. Go to fire-international.org. You should have some experience working with children and or a burden to do the same and willing to be trained and taught in this. All right. And obviously you need to be a committed follower of Jesus. Go to fire-international.org. You have that? fire-international.org. You just click on the list of missionaries. You'll see Joanne Chinkers. So C-H-I-N-K-E-R-S. You'll see her name. Click on it and just contact her. I'd like to find out more. Here's my background. Many of you are saying, well, I'd love to. I can't. I'm a man or married with kids or whatever, or just I don't think I could handle it. Well, you could give. There's always need for more funding, isn't there, Joanne, to help more people, reach more villages? So funding is always needed, correct?
Correct.
All right. So it didn't take long to get that answer. So if you can't go but want to help make a difference, you share in the reward, friends. So she'll be doing the hard work on the front lines there. And we get the emails from Joanne. I mean, the details are unbelievable. But then the details of the lives being changed and how the name of Jesus is being exalted in Muslim villages and among Muslim children and families is amazing. So go to fire-international.org, either to find out more from Joanne Chinkers, C-H-I-N-K-E-R-S, either to find out more from Joanne about potential service, or if you want to give directly to what she's doing there, just do it. Say, hey, you heard her on the radio and you want to help out. And every dime will be used to make a massive difference in many lives. All right. We'll be back with another interview that's going to challenge you here on the stateside. Don't go anywhere.
Shake the nation, change the world. Next time on Focus on the Family, Dr. Tony Evans explains what it means to have a kingdom marriage under God's authority and for His glory. He shares about maintaining oneness, the importance of having a servant's heart, and how to rebuild a marriage relationship that's been fractured. God's wisdom for your marriage on the next Focus on the Family.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, as we have just finished our 20th anniversary missions conference, Fire International, which was birthed out of Brownsville Revival School of Ministry, then Fire School of Ministry, birthed by God's grace and missions movement that is active around the world. So we have different missionaries come in from different parts of the world. We pray together, encourage them, minister to them. They share with our folks what God's doing. We help raise funds for their work around the world. And we're able at certain times to get some of them to join us on the air. And today's one of those special days. Conference ended yesterday, and some of our missionaries are still in town. And I want to present something to you that's, friends, very sobering, very intense, very eye-opening, something we don't hear a lot about, namely missions work right here in America to Native Americans, some of them in some of the worst situations of anyone anywhere in the world. And here they are in our own backyard. So I'm joined by Elliot and Crystal Morales and their precious daughter, who will not be sharing much today at the age of 3. Yeah?
Almost
3. Mm-hmm. All right, so she'll be sitting quietly and join the interview. But Elliot and Crystal, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So just your background quickly. You're both from New York, Elliot?
Yes, from Bronx, New York.
Bronx, New York. So that's real New York.
Yes.
All right, and how is it that you got called to Fire School of Ministry?
You were doing classes in New York, and I went to your revival class. I went to the Jewish Roots class and just felt like the Lord was telling me to go to fire school. And you actually had a school in New York. It shut down, went to Charlotte, and I was like, okay. I was ready to go to school here in New York, Lord, but Charlotte, North Carolina.
We closed the New York school down and brought everyone down to North Carolina. Yeah.
But God would not go away. As I was praying, I would just keep hearing fire, fire, fire. And we weren't married yet, but we prayed about it and just said, well, let's get married and go to fire in Charlotte.
Well, you know, I remember now, but I forgot that you were not married when you first, I just always think of you as Elliot and Crystal.
Yeah.
All right. So you end up, Elliot, you're a real evangelist. Crystal, you got a very compassionate heart. So many places you could go around the world, and God calls you to South Dakota. Mm-hmm. To Pine Ridge. Crystal, just paint a picture of Pine Ridge, South Dakota, for our listeners and viewers.
Yeah, so Pine Ridge is the second poorest county in the Western Hemisphere, second only to Haiti. 8 out of 10 families there are affected by alcoholism or drug addiction. The life expectancy rate for men is 47 years old, for women, 55 years old. About 60% of the homes there really should be demolished because of the condition that they're in. There's a lot of people who don't have running water, electricity in the winter, people who freeze to death. A lot of the children are abused, molested, both girls and boys. It's a really oppressive place. There's a lot of depression, hopelessness. Unemployment rate is, I believe, about 89%. Yeah. Just a lot of poverty.
Yeah, it's overwhelming to think this is right here in America.
Mm-hmm.
When I got online, as you were speaking, I just pulled up my cell phone, and as you were giving all the facts and information, you were done, and I just clicked on poverty, Pine Ridge, and just on the internet it said 97% of the people who live there are under the poverty level, and you just gave a much more graphic description. And Elliot, to what extent is our American history responsible for this situation?
Yes, a lot of it is due to broken treaties. I mean, first they fought against the government when the government was coming in and taking over their land. And then, you know, they decided they didn't want to fight anymore, so they'd make these peace treaties, and they'd tell them, well, we're going to put you on this land, make it seem like they were going to go to land where they could, you know, farm and do all those kinds of things, and they'd be moved on to kind of dead land. There was no alcohol, so they got kind of introduced to alcohol by the soldiers, and it just pretty much went on from there. So it's pretty much it's almost like a welfare type of run state with very corrupt tribal government. Unfortunately, the money goes to them. It's supposed to, you know, they're supposed to meet the needs of the people, but they take care of their friends, their family, and a lot of people in need get left behind. So there is a lot of, you know, because of what was done to them by the American government, there is a lot of racism towards, you know, whites or non-natives. But at the same time, they also recognize that they come and, you know, the church and different government programs do come in and try to kind of help meet their needs in different ways. So even though they are very much against non-natives on the one hand, they also realize non-natives bring us food and blankets and things like that. So they kind of act like they're welcoming, but they're not really. It's a very codependent situation.
So Crystal, you've been there now 5 years, is that right?
Yes.
5 years, amazing. It takes time to build up trust, but what's happened now in terms of doors opening, families welcoming you in? What kind of open arms are you being greeted with? Have those doors been open yet?
Yeah, there's definitely some people that we found that just by watching our lives and watching us be there year after year after year, they realized we're the real deal and we're there to love them and to help them and to just shine the light of Jesus, but really to show them unconditional love. And we've had people come to us and just say, I'm just so thankful for your family. Thank you for being so kind to us. And, you know, things like that, that you don't even really necessarily realize you're doing that. You're just being yourself. And so us just being there is a light in the midst of the darkness. And so then, you know, some will open up to you, share more things with you. You can minister to them and speak into their lives.
All right. So there are testimonies. People have come to faith. We want to share some good news with you. But, you know, it's just devastating for me to hear and to think about this happening again right here in America. And I know there are many rough situations and inner city situations that are difficult. We tend to be a bit more aware of those. And Native Americans just tend to be very much forgotten people right here in our own midst, and a very important mission field, certainly in God's heart, in terms of these precious individuals who are so lost and so beaten down and are born in a situation with three strikes against them almost out of the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's an easy thing and there's a hard thing I'm going to present to you. Here's the easy thing. Elliot and Crystal could use more financial support. They work hard, they're devoted, but they could use more financial support, especially monthly support. And if you say, well, I don't know, maybe I give like $20 a month. Well, if a bunch of you do that, you feel that. Yeah. Some can give more, some less, but go to fire-international.org. fire-international.org. Elliot and Crystal Morales. So just look for Morales where you click on missionaries. You'll find them. You can get behind what they're doing, get their newsletter, find out more about what's going on in their lives in Pine Ridge. So that's the easy part, to give and to be part of their ministry in that way. And that's what we just spent the last weekend doing, raising funds in our own community. And we give a substantial portion of our overall annual income as a congregation, individuals, by God's grace, we're blessed to be able to do that. So that's the easy part. Go to fire-international.org and get behind Elliot and Crystal Morales financially. That's the easy part. Here's the challenging one. There is a pressing need for a couple, preferably, that can be children's pastors. You will be able to work an outside job as well, so raise your support doing that, or just work a job and do children's ministry. But Crystal, what happened to the couple you had? Why do you need another couple now? And why could this be the opportunity of a lifetime mm-hmm. for some special couple?
Yeah, so our children's pastors, who have been there for over 20 years, had to leave unexpectedly. They had some health issues arise. So it was very sudden for them and also for the children. And they poured their lives into these children. They were really like a mother and a father to these kids whose own mothers and fathers don't really care for them most of the time. So they had to leave. And so it's left us scrambling a little. A lot of our team has kind of taken up the responsibility of doing a rotation on Sundays and doing Sunday school.
And Wednesday nights.
But we're just fulfilling the need. We need people who feel called by God to come and to pour into these precious kids and teach them about Jesus and how to live for Jesus and how much Jesus loves them and the Father heart of God. People who are willing to give their lives for these precious kids and they'll reap eternal rewards for that.
Yeah, and Elliot, you're talking about the way to really make any kind of long-term difference in a situation like this is by reaching the next generation. That's obviously, you keep reaching out to the older ones as well and bringing them hope through the gospel. But that's the biggest thing that can be done is reach the children. So Elliot, we got 2 minutes before break. Share something that you've seen that is encouraging. Just one of these stories that's heartwarming. So if you're listening now, folks, and you're looking at each other, a couple, or you're wondering, could that be us? All right, why not? Got to serve somewhere. Right, instead of some nice cushy job in a fancy church with a big income. And that's great if God calls you there, but here's something. Wow, you're talking about the heart of God. Again, go to fire-international.org, click on Morales, Elliot and Crystal Morales, to find out more, or write to them directly and say, okay, let me just find out what's going on. And it's not hard to go do a trip to South Dakota to find out. It's not like going to Nigeria, like we were just talking to another missionary. But Elliot, so a minute now, then we'll come back, talk more. Share some heartwarming story of what you've seen.
You know, a lot of what I see comes through the jail, and the amazing part is a lot of the times these kids that we minister to, I've also met their parents, you know, and know of them because their parents are in jail. I meet their parents in jail. And, you know, recently there was a man in jail named Zane, and he comes to our meetings, but then he ended up in the hospital. He got bit by a spider. And so I got to see him in the hospital. When I went to the hospital, he just happened to be there. He was so surprised that we were there. He thought, and I said, well, Jesus sent us. I didn't really know you were here, but we're, you know. And he just really opened up. We shared the gospel. Got to minister to him for weeks and weeks after that, disciple him, but then lost track of him.
I'll tell you what, stay right there, and we'll come back. We'll keep talking to Elliot. Krista just had a run out with their almost 3-year-old beautiful daughter. Is God calling you to get involved? Why not? We all got to serve. Make your life count. fire-international.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to finish that story that Elliot Morales was sharing right before the break. If you just tuned in, go to fire-international.org and click on Missionaries and click on Morales to find out more about Elliot and Krista Morales, the work they're doing in Pine Ridge with Native Americans here in South Dakota. Crystal told us at the beginning of the last segment that this is the second poorest county in all of the Western Hemisphere, only Haiti in worse condition in terms of poverty. But when you have the alcoholism, when you have the depression, when you have the sexual abuse, incest, and things like that of children, the larger hopelessness, it makes it even worse in many, many ways than what you'd find in Haiti. So, Elliot, you were giving us a good story. One of these heartwarming things of where you plant seeds of love and prayer and see a result.
So this guy, Zane, that I had been ministering to in the jail, because we have larger jail meetings, kind of like church services, And then those who want to follow the Lord, I'll meet with them one-on-one for more of a discipleship. And once he got out of jail, I've kind of lost track of him. And months later, I run into him in my town. He moved his family off the reservation into our town. And he was so excited to see me. And just telling his wife, you know, this is my brother, Elliot.
Mm.
And that's a big deal.
Mm.
Because of what's been done to them, their mistrust of other races. It's a big deal for a Lakota to call you friend. It's a huge deal if they're calling you brother.
Mm.
And it really showed me that he gets it. He gets that we are family in Christ. And I've been able to continue ministering to him. His wife, his son, they're just always excited to see me when I come. And just going over the word together. He lives in an apartment complex, and now he wants to start having services in the community room. He wants me to come and do services. He's going to invite everyone. So, you know, sometimes when guys get out of jail, you lose track, or you run into them and it's not a good situation. But, you know, they've kind of fallen back into their old ways. But there's just been a couple of times this year where I've run into others and they're happy to see me and tell me how they're doing and how they're still following Jesus and to reconnect with me. And it's just an amazing blessing that's happening, because it's hard ground. It's unfortunately rare that you see that. And so when you do, you know God is working, and only the Lord could do it.
And where does the role of prayer and fasting come in with all this?
Hugely, hugely. You have to stay connected to the Lord. It's a spiritual battle. It can seem very hopeless, because often what people do is they reach out because they feel pity for the people. And I never see Jesus ministering out of pity. He ministered out of compassion, and he brought healing.
Mm.
When you minister pity, you kind of join them in blaming. Oh, we'll see people, even churches do it. I'm so sorry for the way the government treated you. I'm so sorry for what was done. And I've even told the guys in jail, I know a lot of people do that to you, but you and I know that pity isn't going to change anything. We need to bring healing to you, because I want to see you succeed. I don't want to just meet your daily needs. I want to see you whole, and I want to see you succeeding in your identity in Jesus. And I look on their faces when the Lord speaks that through me, and you can see it's like a light turns on, and they're nodding and they're engaged, and they're like, okay, this is different. And I hear that all the time. There's something different about you guys. You're different than the people that come here. And I just want to say something about the kids real quick, if
yeah,
I can.
Yeah, please.
But, you know, the children that we minister to, and I've actually started teaching some of them kickboxing, and I'm seeing these girls grow up before my eyes, and they're growing into beautiful young women. And I'm just pleading with the Lord sometimes, like, God, don't let them lose their innocence, God. I know the statistics, and too many, most of there's so many VBSs that go on during the summer in Pine Ridge, but yet you see the kids get lost once they reach those teenage years. And that's why we're so desperate for children's pastors who will disciple these young ones, because I don't want to see them becoming statistics. And that's where part of prayer and fasting. We're praying and fasting against these things. We're asking God for his strategy against these principalities and powers that are holding them captive and keeping them blind to the truth. And we ourselves need to stay connected to God, because otherwise you can get overwhelmed by the hopelessness. And only when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and lets you know, like, no, there is victory coming. Keep holding on. Keep praying. Keep believing. It's coming. It's on its way. Justice is coming. And that's all you got, because if you look in the natural, it's hopeless. Mm. But when we know and we connect with the Lord, we have hope. We have a sure hope.
So listen, friends, you might say, I want to make a difference. Why can't I just make a difference in my own community? Well, there are plenty of people living in your own community that can do the same thing. Here, there's a need where there's nobody to do it. There's nobody to do it. I remember reading the life story of John Payton, who was mightily used by God as a missionary to the South Sea Islands to go to the people that were known as cannibals. And he was disturbed. Here he was in Scotland in the 1800s, and he hears that his synod, I think he was a Lutheran church, they needed someone to go to the South Seas to replace the missionary who had been there for years, and there was no one there, no one volunteering, and he was getting very disturbed, and he felt the Lord said to him, since no one more qualified is found, then you go. So if you're feeling a tap, that's the situation. So here's the deal. It's within the United States. You don't have to learn another language. And yes, you need to learn cultural sensitivity, but you do it while still being here in the States. You can relocate to South Dakota, and you can actually work. You can maybe you're listening right now and you live in South Dakota, or you're watching online, you live in South Dakota. How wonderful would that be? But you could go and get a job, all right, or a couple, get jobs, whatever the situation is, or if one of you is working, dad's out working, mom's with the kids, you can get a job or get jobs and then do all the ministry outside of work hours, or you could raise support and be engaged full-time, because there's always work to be done. Yes. Among these people, families to meet, spend time with, have meals together, all kinds of activities. So there is a need, ideally, for a couple to be children's pastors. You say, well, the last ones were there 20 years. I don't know that I can commit to 20 years. Well, take 1 year at a time. Mm-hmm. The key thing is that God gives you a heart to reach these people in need. Maybe it's your own background. Maybe you have some Native American blood and you feel, well, maybe there's some bridges I could build in the process. But if God's speaking to you, or if you just want to find out more, all right, there's got to be somebody out there. I know for sure, with the amount of listeners and viewers we have, this, I feel sure there's got to be somebody out there that could be used by God in this setting. All right, go to fire-international.org. fire-international.org and click on Missionaries in Morales, Ellet and Krista Morales. You can write to them directly to find out more. You can write to Fire International to find out more. And if you say, I'd love to go, but I can't, we're not children's pastors, or I can't get away from job or family, then you'd always give, all right, if I made you feel guilty. Tell you what, if the money comes their way, even if it's given out of guilt, they'll still use it. But better still, let it be given out of love and out of faith. fire-international.org. Monthly support would be ideal for them. So, Elliot, 2 minutes before we're done, just share your heart, and in sharing your heart, God's heart for the lost, God's heart for souls. Speak as an evangelist to listening Christians right now.
I feel his heart constantly. You know, the Bible's so clear, right? He says clearly that he desires that all men be saved. And when I look at the people around me, I just see people lost because they don't know him. They don't know his love, and they have no hope because they don't know the one who is hope. And God desires for them to know him. I know there's so many things, there's so many hindrances, there's so many distractions. They've got all kinds of information about God coming their way through YouTube and media and movies and all kinds of crazy stuff. So But that's why God sent us with his heart, to show him what he feels, to reveal to him, to them, what he's like, to them, what he feels towards them, his great love towards them. I know God doesn't want any of them to perish, and there's so many reasons why they do perish, but it's up to us, his people, to reveal what he feels about them, to know how they matter. They mattered enough for Jesus to die for every single one of them. Jesus bore their sins, their pain, everything they've gone through. He took it upon himself so they wouldn't have to face the punishment for the wrong that they've done. And we've got to have that heart that God does not want to punish. He wants to save. It's we who resist him, but when we accept his free gift of salvation, what a joy it is to him, and that joy we will experience. God loves these people dearly. He loves everyone around you. So wherever you're at, ask God to show you the way he sees the people. Don't see them as through their actions and even their harsh words that they may say towards you or others. Ask for the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Ask for the heart of God to feel what he feels, and share it with those around, because God wants to save them. That's his desire. As human beings, we get angry. We want people to pay. God's not like that. And let's represent him and represent him well.
Yeah, friends, judgment day is certain. The only way to avoid it is through the cross. And God is not simply calling for people to avoid judgment. He's offering them membership in his own family, forgiven, free through the blood of Jesus. So wherever you live, make a difference. You are the lifeline. You are God's answer for the people around you, your neighbors, your co-workers, your family members. If you know the Lord, you are God's lifeline to those people. Be used by God. And if he's stirring your heart, maybe you're the ones called to be children's pastors. Go to fire-international.org. Check out Elliot and Crystal Morales. Maybe God's calling you to South Dakota.